Welcome in, everyone, to this deep dive we're taking today. We're going to be looking into the meaning and practices behind Lent and the resurrection.
Yeah, this is a really rich topic, and whether this is your first time exploring it or you've observed Lent for years, I think there's something here for everyone.
Definitely. And there's a lot to unpack. Like, even just looking at the significance of the number 40 in the Bible can give us a deeper understanding.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that number pops up so often, you know, 40 days appears at least 24 times in the scriptures.
Yeah.
That's got to mean something, right?
For sure. Like, it's not just a coincidence. There's something deeper there. It's like in the Bible, 40 often represents a time of change, a period of testing.
Right. You see it as preparation, judgment sometimes, and ultimately renewal, like a marker for transformation and getting back in line with God's plan.
And when you look at the specific examples, it's really striking. Like, think about Noah's flood.
Yeah, exactly. The rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. That's in Genesis. It wasn't just a long rain, though. It was a period of cleansing and judgment, wiping everything clean to make way for a new start.
Then you have Moses on Mount Sinai. That's another big one.
Oh, yeah, huge one. It says in Exodus that Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. He was receiving the law, the commandments, directly from God.
It's like these periods of isolation, of intense focus, they seem to be key for receiving guidance. We even see it later on with Jesus in the wilderness.
And don't forget about the 12 spies sent into Canaan. Their mission, you guessed it, lasted 40 days.
That's right. That's in Numbers. And it wasn't just about scouting the land. It became a test of their faith, revealing all the doubts and fears they were carrying.
And what about Elijah? His journey to Horeb.
Right. That was 40 days, too. It says in 1 Kings he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb. That wasn't just a long hike. It was a time of deep spiritual renewal, ending in a powerful encounter with God.
And then there's the warning given to Nineveh through Jonah.
Oh, yeah. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's what Jonah preached. It was a powerful call to repentance. And the amazing thing is, the entire city actually listened.
The whole city. It makes you wonder what could happen if we all took a message like that to heart. You know, imagine the change that could be possible.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and of course, we can't talk about 40 days without mentioning Jesus in the wilderness.
Absolutely. Both Matthew and Luke describe how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. It was a time of testing and preparation before his ministry began.
And even after the resurrection, we see 40 pop up again.
Yeah, in Acts, it says Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days after he rose from the dead, talking about the kingdom of God. It was a time for them to understand what had happened, to learn, and to be prepared to spread the message.
So clearly, this idea of 40 days, it's all about transformation, about facing challenges and coming out changed on the other side. Do you ever see that in your own life?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, haven't we all been through times where we went through something difficult and came out stronger? It's like going through a fire and being refined, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what Lent is all about, isn't it? It's our own 40-day journey, a time to look inward, confront our weaknesses, and prepare our hearts for the resurrection.
It is. And it's interesting how this season is observed across different Christian traditions. You see a lot of variety.
Yeah, like the Roman Catholic Church, they begin Lent with Ash Wednesday. And then there's the fasting, abstaining from meat on Fridays, that sort of thing.
And Orthodox Christians, their fasting is even more strict. They often abstain from meat and dairy, and sometimes other animal products too.
It's fascinating, right? All these different practices, but they're all aiming for that same inner discipline and focus. Like, there's a personal journey happening within the larger tradition.
Right, exactly. And then you have Protestant churches, like the Methodists, Anglicans, and Lutherans. They might not have those same strict rules about food, but they still observe Lent.
Yeah, they might focus on giving up certain comforts, spending more time in prayer, or doing acts of service and justice. It's a broader way of looking at spiritual discipline.
And we're even seeing more and more evangelical Christians embracing Lent in recent years.
It's like everyone's recognizing the value of this season for spiritual renewal and getting closer to God. Like, it's a universal call to slow down and reflect.
That's right. And a beautiful way to put it is in Joel 2.12, it says, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." It's about turning back to what matters most.
And you know what's really interesting is that this idea of fasting for spiritual growth, it's not just a Christian thing. You see it in other faiths, too.
Oh, absolutely. Take Islam, for example. During Ramadan, Muslims all over the world fast from sunrise to sunset every day. They also focus on prayer, charity, and reflection.
And in Judaism, there is a Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. It's a day of fasting, repentance, and seeking forgiveness.
Then you have Hinduism. where fasting is incorporated into various holy festivals like Navratri. The types and lengths of the fasts can vary depending on the specific tradition.
And even in Buddhism, while it's not as common across the board, some monks practice fasting to improve their focus and discipline in their spiritual practice.
It's amazing, right? All these different religions, different practices, but there's this shared understanding. Like, to really connect with something bigger than ourselves, we sometimes need to step back from the physical world. It's about humility, about seeking something deeper.
And that brings us to the culmination of this season, the celebration of Jesus's resurrection. Now, we often hear the term Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that's the common one. But a lot of churches, especially non-denominational ones, prefer to say Resurrection Sunday.
Right, because the focus there is clear. It's all about the miracle of Jesus rising from the dead. But I'm curious, do you think there's anything lost, any significance or historical context we might miss by moving away from the term Easter?
That's a good question. I mean, Easter has become so culturally intertwined with the celebration, but saying Resurrection Sunday really highlights the core of the event.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of Christ's victory over death.
Exactly. Like Mark 16.6 says, "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." It's so simple, yet so powerful.
Yeah, gets right to the heart of it. So think about it. When you hear Resurrection Sunday, what does it make you think of? Does it help you focus more on the meaning of what Jesus did?
It's definitely something to consider, and I think ultimately what's important is the unifying message of this season. It doesn't matter how we pray, how we fast, or where we worship. Lent and the resurrection are an invitation to everyone to go deeper in their faith.
That's it. And it reminds us that we're all in this together. We're sharing this planet, this life, and maybe now more than ever, we need to treat each other with reverence, compassion, and humility.
Absolutely. And this season is a call to do just that. It's a call to honor God through reflection and action, and to honor each other by how we live and treat each other. It's about showing grace, living with purpose, and being a light in the world.
Amen to that. It's a powerful message.
Lord, we come to you now asking for unity in this world that often feels so divided. Help us to see past our differences and come together in love.
May this season of Lent and the celebration of the resurrection be more than just tradition. May it be a time of true transformation for each of us.
Guide us, Lord, to walk humbly, to fast with purpose, and to rise with new life through the power of your resurrection. Amen.
And to all of you listening, wherever you are, whatever your background, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, non-denominational, or just exploring you, are welcome here.
We may walk different paths, hold different beliefs, but we're all on this journey together. And there's something beautiful about that. When we take time to honor God and each other, we connect with something deeper.
So as we move forward, let's embrace this season with reverence, with kindness, and with open hearts.
If you've enjoyed this deep dive, share it with a friend, leave a comment, and tell us what you think. And subscribe so you don't miss our future episodes.
Keep shining your light, stay prayerful, and let the hope of the resurrection transform you.
Until next time.